This interview is brought to you by Panasonic Lumix G cameras for today's photographer. I'm here with Sue Bryce. She's a portrait photographer out of Australia, as you'll be able to deduce by her wonderful accent. But she's joining me today to talk about portrait photography and some of the evolutions of portrait photography that she is pushing forward in different genres and that sort of thing. She does some amazing work out there. And I was first introduced to Sue through, of course, looking at her work, but personally through Creative Live, which she's doing some workshops with. And as I mentioned on the show before, This Week in Photo is partnering with Creative Live to sort of bring these kind of high quality interviews to you. So, Sue Bryce, welcome to This Week in Photo.
Thank you very much from Las Vegas today.
Yeah, you're in Las Vegas. What's happening in Vegas?
I'm here to speak for WPPIU and to do a couple of shoots and, you know, to just get crazy in Vegas like you do.
Oh, that's very cool. Very cool. I wish I was there. It sounds like a blast.
It's very hot, actually. Very hot.
Was it in the hundreds?
Yes, 111 when I landed 2 days ago from an Australian winter.
Ouch. Ouch. I hope you didn't bring any coats.
No.
Okay, so let's dive into it. So, Sue Bryce, you love photographing people, right? So let's talk about how you got from where you were and where that was to where you are today, you know, sweating in Vegas. What was the path of Sue Bryce?
Well, I started when I was 18 in the photographic industry, and glamour photography was the biggest genre in the world at the time. And I was a young woman who liked hair and makeup, so it was just natural that I was drawn to that over wedding and portrait, wedding and children photography. And so I launched myself into the glamour industry, and of course it died probably within 7 years of me being fully entrenched in. I was working for Headshots in New Zealand. And unfortunately, my entire genre faded away and became a dirty word. So I kept it alive when everyone else sort of turned away from it. And I just evolved. And I evolved it to something more modern. And I tried to sort of shape modern glamour to be more Vanity Fair portrait, but for the everyday person.
I love that. Here I am.
Back in fashion.
I love that. So let's talk about that a little bit. So glamour, and I remember, so you mentioned a company called Headshots that you used to work for, and I'm familiar just here in the United States. So I think there was a chain called Glamour Shots that you'd find in strip malls and in malls, and they may still be around. So apologies about it if they're still around, but the idea was a woman could walk in off the street, or a male could walk in off the street, and they do a quick makeover, put you in front of the camera, with some soft lighting, throw a feather boa or in some other prop on you, and, you know, put some Vaseline on the lens or on the edges, and boom, and then they make a print and you walk out with it with a before and after. So tell me, let's talk about, so that, I'm sure millions of people know what that experience was and the negative stigma that got associated with that and quote unquote real photography. So how did you take that sort of flow that I just mentioned and turn it into the art that we see in your work? Because I look at your work and I see magazine covers, you know, it looks like it's real photography. This is real artistic interpretations of women.
You know, it's no different than it was 20 years ago, 23 years ago. It was in fashion then, you know, big hair and soft focus and big bows. We liked it back then. You know, we cringe about it now. I think when something gets so big, it's easy for it to die in a big way. And it died in a huge way because the stigma attached to it was simply because it wasn't fashionable anymore. Mm. I don't understand why we didn't just keep evolving it, why we just turned our back on it, because I never wanted to shoot anything else. So all of a sudden our studio changed its name to Photographers Inc. and we were photographing weddings and children, and I didn't want to photograph. I would rather stick pins in my eyes than photograph a wedding. And I don't like photographing children. So I just had to try and change what it was that people hated about it. And as far as I'm concerned, the experience of an everyday woman to walk into a photo shoot, just like a magazine shoot, to have her hair and makeup done by a professional stylist and to experience seeing herself at her most beautiful is still and always has been the most exciting thing that I could ever do as a portrait photographer. So really the rest was about just bringing it into the third millennia and making it look more magazine and more contemporary and crossing more of a commercial style, but for the everyday client. And I kind of came back into fashion, but because boudoir came back and it kind of launched glamour back. But even now I say the word glamour and people still tighten up when I say it. So I have to let the work speak for the old branding, but it's still a powerful brand. So people know what it means. They just now say, oh, you're the modern version, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's great. Now, so you're an expert in this field. And I went to a workshop, I think it was last year down in Los Angeles. And it was a workshop on glamour photography, but it was more nude. I mean, this is like just like straight nude photography, but artistic. But they branded it as glamour photography. So how do you feel about that sort of co-opting of the glamour name into that genre of photography?
The UK still use the term glamour photography, even when it went out of fashion for the US and Australia and New Zealand. But the UK use it in terms of their sort of trashy sort of magazine, FHM hustler style of photography.
Right,
that's what they refer to as glamour photography. So it may have been just a little bit of a crossover from that idea of she's a glamour model. And you know, that's what the UK calls, say, Katie Price and all those girls that do, you know, Page Three. But, you know, we know what glamour photography is from the 80s. So I can't call it anything else. When I went to Australia 4 years ago, I started to introduce myself as a glamour photographer, and photographers were saying to me at the time, don't call yourself that because people won't touch you. And then I would show them my images and they'd say, oh, okay. And I'm like, well, what would you have me call that? So, okay, I tried portrait couture and it doesn't ring true for me. Glamour is a word I would use to describe myself. You know, Fergie wrote that great song Glamour and Glamorous, and it's a great song, and she started to bring it back, and I just thought, you know, I can just bring glamour back. That's what I'll do. Justin Timberlake brought sexy back. I'm bringing glamour back, and you know, I'm just going to say this is what glamour looks like now, and I'm just going to rebrand it around the world.
I love that, bringing glamour back. That's perfect. So let's talk about just sort of the flow. So as you go through, like, and I've seen this in the workshop on Creative Live, but let's just sort of dissect the steps of when you do one of these shoots. So say, you know, a woman comes to you and you accept her as a client. What next? What's the flow from you saying, hi, okay, let's do the shoot, to you handing over the final product? And what is that final product?
To me, I have to do, I believe, after 23 years of being in a portrait studio, the secret to selling your product is to pre-sell it. So for me, the packages in the shoot is designed in the pre-consultation, whether that's on the phone or in person. Everything I do, the sell the idea, the experience, the final product, which is a beautiful folio box, and everything that client wants right in that moment is determined pre-shoot, and I decide right then with them how they want to be photographed and what clothes they're going to bring. You know, some people don't do glamour, so they want to do the Calvin Klein jeans and white singlet, and some girls want to go straight to boudoir, and some girls want to do the big frocks that I make, and everybody is so different. So we just ask them what they like about my website, what they like about my folio, and that gives me a really good idea of how they want to be photographed, their demographic, their age, how, you know, what they identify with on the wall in my studio tells me straight away how they want to be photographed. And then I really spend time in that process. The more time you spend in the preparing of a shoot, instead of just banging away to shoot and hoping that you're achieving, you know, good shots, I'm trying to achieve what my client wants. It's more important than anything else. And then, of course, I sell a folio box and a wall portrait. I have one package package because I just don't believe in confusing my clients with price lists of a whole lot of different stuff, and that's it. And the experience is hopefully amazing for everybody. It always intrigues me that nobody feels very comfortable being photographed. It's not the easiest thing to do by any stretch of the imagination. Most people tell me they'd rather go to the dentist. And then they come back and see their photographs and they start to remember the process as being a lot more amazing than it was because, you know, it was a bit nerve-wracking. And, yeah, it's a great experience, hopefully, and beautiful photographs as the result.
That's wonderful. And then talk to me about the delivery. Do you, you know, a lot of photographers will do the shoot and then post the proofs online and let the photographers pick from there? Or, and that kind of comes from the wedding industry that we, of course, know that you don't like. But the, you know, and some will create physical, actual printed proofs that you can sit down and go with them. And some just do soft proofing within the studio. What's your flow for reviewing the images before you make the prints?
I do everything via live selling, and I do everything on a 42-inch plasma screen.
Oh, wow. Okay. So everything is on the wall in your studio. You don't allow them. You don't do the username password thing where they got to log in and see their images.
No, I want to be with them when they view their images, and I want to show them to them. So I want to experience that with them.
I love that. And then that, when you're doing that review, you've already pre-sold the package. So it's not like you're doing any selling at that time. It's just, that's more of just the selection for what the final product is going to be, right?
That's the best part. And I think that took me the longest to learn as a photographer over the years. I used to struggle to sell my own work and failed really abysmally at it. I was an employed photographer for the first half of my career. So for 12 years, I worked for somebody else and they sold the work. It wasn't until I went into business myself that I realized that I couldn't actually sell my own work. And then I started to learn over the last sort of 10, 11 years that the selling of the experience and the product is done right before the shoot, really. And then the rest, all you have to do then is deliver. Yeah. I mean, I don't always deliver. You know, I'm only human. I don't always hit that mark. I mean, I have a pretty high level of final product, but, I mean, I'm always going to be, you know, there's always going to be someone that you don't quite get. Yeah. In the best possible way. But, you know, my idea is that if I've pre-sold the idea and the package and I've pre-sold myself and my experience and my studio, then really they trust me enough to say, I want to do this. So I just trying to get out of them exactly what it is that they want so I can really produce a service. The biggest problem with photographers right now is that they're kind of acting like rock stars or artists where they think that the privilege is you've come to my studio so I can create this for you. It's not like that. We're service providers, and if you want to be a really successful business operator, you need to provide a service for the client who's coming into your studio, and then they'll pay you for it. It's that simple.
Yeah, absolutely. So then what about the actual time that you're in the studio? How long does the average session last? I'm sure it depends, right? But on average?
On average, it's 2 hours, 1 hour for hair and makeup and an hour to shoot. Although now that's really changed for me because I used to do 3 shoots a day when I first opened the studio, 6 days a week. And then I went down to 2 shoots a day, 2 double shoots a day. So I do 2 women per session. So that was 4 women per day. And now in Australia, I have a higher average and I do 1 shoot per day and it goes for about 3.5 hours. Any longer and people are hungry and tired and you just don't get the best from them. So 3.5 hours is a good time.
Oh, that's really good. Now, talk about hair and makeup. Do you have a stylist that you work with for every shoot that you do, or a bank that you can pull from, or how does that work?
When I'm in Australia, I work with Simone Yannick, who's coming to Creative Live with me to teach hair and makeup. And she's amazing. She's a professional hair and makeup artist and a photographer as well. And yeah, I always train my makeup artists. I always have for the last 23 years. I train my own makeup artists, and I just want somebody that's going to be a really good relaxer, a good assistant, somebody who's going to really help my client look and feel gorgeous and someone that's going to do hair and makeup in the way that I like it to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. And then wardrobe, during that initial consultation, I'm sure you talk about the kind of shot and what kind of wardrobe the client needs to wear. Do you provide any of that, or is it all the onus on the client to bring their own wardrobe?
They must bring their own clothes, because that really determines how they're going to be photographed. It tells me so much about who they are as a person. Although I have racks of accoutrement, just extras, just little bits, flowers and scarves and belts and things that just make images look a little bit better and jazz up outfits a little bit. But really, it really comes down to the more effort that they put into their shoot. Also, when you're doing your pre-consultation, the more effort you can get your client to put into the shoot, the more committed they are to the shoot, and therefore the more they're going to spend, because, you know, my clients will go shopping, they'll borrow higher outfits, they'll get a spray tan, they'll get their nails done, they'll get their hair done, they'll get facials beforehand. They'll actually prepare for the shoot like they're preparing for an event or a wedding. Yeah. And the more invested they are in that process, the better the result, and the more invested they are in their sale. So I actually get them excited and prepared to a point where it's becoming an event. The entire shoot is just something that they're excited to go and do.
Yeah. So you tell them to just show up with their wardrobe ready to go, with a clean face and clean hair, and then you and the makeup artist take it from there, correct?
Yes, clean, dry hair, no product on, no product in your hair, no product on your face, and 5 outfits right down to the shoes.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so let's talk about the Creative Live aspect of this. So you did one workshop with Creative Live already. How did that go?
It was probably one of the most amazing experiences I've had as a professional photographer. They're an amazing team to work with, and yes, I couldn't actually fathom being live online like that. So I kind of, the night before, I was preparing in the studio, and I just thought, oh, wow, can I do this? This is crazy. And then I was just like, well, I'll just be myself. And
you didn't look nervous at all.
Hopefully that'll be good enough. And I just loved it. It was such a great experience. Really, really,
you
really
looked
was.
Completely,
I can't wait to go back.
You looked completely at ease during the whole thing.
Look, I tell you, I think after the first hour and a half that they broke for the morning tea break, and I just looked at Simona, and I had the onset of a severe migraine. Like, the tension through my back and shoulders was so severe, I had to quickly get them to run out and get the strongest drugs to drug me. And one of the boys from upstairs, one of the mediators in the chat room, came and rubbed my shoulders, and I was just like, I honestly was so strung out. And then I just started to breathe and enjoy it. This time I think I'll enjoy it so much more, because I know what's going to happen. And oh, it was really funny. It was really funny.
Yeah. Well, the fear of the unknown is over, right? It's known now, so you can go in with confidence. What about this next one? Let's talk about that one. So what's different between this upcoming workshop and the one that you just did?
Well, I think everybody keeps emailing me and say, what are you going to possibly talk about for 3 days? And I'm like, oh, have we met? I mean, I can talk underwater for starters. But secondly, I've been a portrait photographer for 23 years. So I photographed over 5,000 women.
Wow.
And I don't think there's any situation now as a photographer that I could be in that I haven't been in before. And I just sort of really, I want to open up 2 things. One of them is with education at the moment around the world, there seems to be everybody's doing workshops.
Yeah.
And then you go and do a workshop and you post images and somebody goes, oh, you've done a Sue Bryce workshop, eye roll, you know. And the idea, of course, is that you go and learn from a photographer and then you start doing some shoots like them, and everyone, you know, sort of criticizes that. But the truth is I'm actually bringing a genre back. So I actually want people all around the world to start including a glamour genre into their business, because I'm booked for a year in advance. Wow. And I've turned down over 300 shoots in the last 4 months because I physically cannot do them myself, which tells me that my genre is widely in demand by women all over the world. And I think it's something that needs to be brought back. So I actually want people to learn this and start doing it and learn it properly. So this next 3 days, I think I'll be shooting almost 20 girls and breaking it down and just showing people how to do it really, really well. And it's amazing. I couldn't have packed more into 3 days. I'm tired just reading the list. I don't know how I'm going to do it.
That's good. I'll be watching. I'll be watching. Now, you mentioned women. So does glamour extend into male? Like, have you ever considered shooting men?
Well, I do shoot men, so I probably shoot 100 women and one male. The thing is men come in as partners, fathers, and sons to shoots, but I very rarely would get a male just come and do a photo shoot on his own. Mm-hmm. I have an average sale of $3,300 now, and men just don't go and spend $3,000 on a portfolio, but it's a very female thing to do. So I don't exclude men by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I get the more women include them, then obviously the higher my sale is. So I always try and bring the boys in at some stage, but mostly it's a girl thing. It's a hair and makeup and girl thing.
I love it. And in that 3,000, you know, so averaging 3,300, what are they getting in that? It's a, you mentioned the folio. What's in that?
My folio box is distributed. It's made in Australia by Celdex, but it's distributed through Fineo USA. And it's just a very simple 11x14 folio box with 7 by 10 images matted. And there's 20 beautiful hand matted images. And it comes with a wall portrait as well. And also includes the shoot, the makeover, a location, and a CD of all of the images.
Got it. That's great. Let's talk about gear a little bit before I let you go. This Week in Photo listeners won't forgive me if we don't talk a little bit about what you're using to make these images. So what's your camera of choice and your lighting of choice?
Natural light. So only shoot natural light with polystyrene reflectors.
Really? You must have a beautiful studio then with lots of windows in there.
Oh, luckily there's beautiful light everywhere in the world. So I've just learned how to bounce it and manipulate it. And I'll shoot anywhere. So as long as I can shoot during daylight hours, obviously. I always joke and tell people I'm powered by God when they ask me what my lighting is. And I can only shoot between 10 and 3, obviously, because that's the best shooting time for me. And I use polystyrene reflectors and I shoot on the 5D Mark III.
Wow, that is great. And then post-processing, do you do your own post-processing or do you hand the images off to a team to fix them?
I've never been able to hand off my post-processing. I love doing Photoshop. And nice. When I started in 1992, I was a photographic retoucher for actually 1988. I was a photographic retoucher before Photoshop was invented. And then I embraced Photoshop when that came out. And I've been retouching for 23 years. So I couldn't imagine giving that to anyone else.
Yeah, that's great. Keep it in your hands all the way through to the client, right? Right.
And I only view 30 images or less.
Only 30 images or less, really?
Yes.
Wow. So how many are you capturing during the session, during the 2 to 3 hours?
I don't usually shoot over 100. I want to show 25 to 30 and sell 25. So I want to keep it really tight and retouch the images before they're seen. To me, it's a final package. So it takes the elimination process out, because I used to show 60 to 120. And then I realized for the first hour, people were just saying no, mm-hmm. no. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why are people saying no to my work instead of yes? So I just started to cut it down myself. And you know, a lot of people say, but what happens when somebody says, is there another shot like that but smiling? And I always laugh and say, it doesn't work like that. People are just, wow.
Yeah. So when you're showing these images, so basically you're showing the retouched images. You don't retouch after they pick the ones that you've set aside. Do you retouch before and show them your best work?
It's kind of like, why would you, I just, if you order a beautiful product, you don't want someone to bring it out and say, this is what it looks like before and this is what it's going to look like after, because people don't have any visual imagination. A lot of people don't. And I just kind of think the finished product for me is right through to the end. I wouldn't want to show anybody any unretouched work. I just don't see the point. I don't know why you would do that.
I agree. See, another reason why I enjoyed your workshop so much is you're preaching to the choir here. I love that. Okay, so let's talk about the workshop. When is this upcoming Creative Live workshop scheduled to start?
The 27th of August through to the 31st. 5 days, 2 days of hair and makeup with Simona and I. We're going to have 5 faces being made up with a running keynote, and we're going to shoot beauty images of all 5 women both days. And then we're going to go straight into live shooting and inside the Glamour Studio for 3 days, from the 29th, 30th and 31st. So, and you can watch it for free on Creative Live.
Wow. And that's the thing for the folks that aren't familiar with Creative Live, the way it works is you can, like Sue just said, you can watch the entire thing for free. So all the stuff that she's been talking about during this interview, you can learn it all in depth for free, live. And then if you feel like you want to own the files and own the videos of the entire workshop, you can pay a fee. I think it's like $100 or $140, or depending on what it is at the time, but you can pay that fee and download everything to your personal hard drive and own it. Right. So
it's literally $99. It's crazy. You can get me for 3 whole days for $99. But the thing is, it's going to be, this workshop is going to be so packed full of information, that it's going to be something you have to buy, because you'll have to revisit it over and over again.
So this is like a crash course. Between this one and the last one that you did, if someone was to distill all that information into their brain, they pretty much have a pretty good head start on doing this type of photography professionally. If, you know, all notwithstanding they have the talent and they can shoot and that sort of thing and pose and everything, but this is like a kickstart in order to get into this type of photography, right?
I actually believe if you can't turn around or double your sales, or turn around and open an entire genre from a week of training like this, I'd be very, very surprised, because I break it down in such an easy way, and it's really, really, and it's nothing I do is that special. Honestly, it's a formula, and I've been training a photographer recently in Melbourne, and she rang me the other day, and she said she's doing really, really well. And I said, where are you struggling? Like, what are you having difficulty with? And she said, well, I do get a little bit bored sometimes, because, you know, I always used to try and reinvent the wheel every time I did a shoot. And then I realized that I just wasn't getting anywhere. I wasn't making any money. She said, but you kind of made me make the cake. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, you taught me a recipe, a really easy recipe. And every day I just wake up and I say, just make the cake, Annie. You know, don't reinvent the wheel, just make the cake. And she said, now I'm making money and my studio is cranking. And I was like, well, that's cool. It's just a recipe. So get into it and enjoy it. And, you know, there are so many women in this world that want to feel beautiful. It's a joke. It's a given. They're just such amazingly open as a demographic to market to and to photograph, and you know, it's so enjoyable. So I love it, and I want to share it. I want everybody to do it. I want to bring it back, and I want women all around the world to just feel great about themselves and have beautiful photographs. That's a joy.
That's wonderful. Bringing glamour back. You should do a workshop entitled that, bringing glamour back to the masses. Do you ever worry about like giving, cause you like, again, when I watched your last workshop, I was thinking she's giving everything away, you know, she's given all the secrets, and you don't hold back at all. It's like you are telling everyone exactly how you do your business and how you became successful. Do you ever wonder, or are you ever concerned that, okay, I'm giving away the keys to the kingdom, and now my space is going to be oversaturated with people doing my formula?
That's actually quite a very, very sort of asked question in my life right now. It seems to be everyone asks me that every day. I'm nearly ready to retire. I've done 23 years of this. And the sad thing is I was starting to wrap up my sort of shooting my business to start other projects. And I was like, how could I possibly wrap up something that is still in such a high demand unless I give it away to everybody else? And then I started to give it away and everyone told me I was stupid. And the more I give, the more I get. I'm just astounded by how amazing the reception of what I've been giving has become in my life. It is just crazy. I mean, like you said, how did you get from small town in Karaka in New Zealand to sitting in a Vegas hotel talking to you?
Yeah.
I can't even fathom that. 5 years ago, nobody knew who I was. And I have this very successful business that's turning over hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And nobody even knew who I was in Australia, let alone America. And all of a sudden it's exploded, and I just feel incredible gratitude that I get to share this because I really love what I do, but it's time for me to do something else. I'm shooting a lot of video and I'm an artist, so I draw and I also do a lot of illustrative photography, and it's time to do more. And I can't go on to the next thing and not leave this legacy at least of something, because I've been working so hard at this for my entire life, and everybody thinks that I'm an overnight success, you know, but I'm 41 and I've been doing this since I was 18. Wow. And I've loved it so much. Mm.
That's amazing. Just for you to be able, I can hear the passion in your voice, and just for you to be able to have something of such value to give back to the photography community, and B, be in a position through photography that you can say, okay, I'm ready to retire at 41 and move on to something else cool. That's amazing in and of itself. That's congratulations. That's really cool.
You know, change is the biggest thing, the biggest problem you ever have as a human being is when you get tired of something or when you get sick of something, instead of just embracing what's coming next, we have this sort of propensity to become incredibly negative and stagnated in what we're doing, because we sometimes believe that when we create all this negative energy in our life, we perpetuate change by having to, or other people make changes for us instead of grabbing the future and just going, I'm going to do this. And I don't think you should ever have to create a negative situation or in order to make changes. I believe that you can do anything. And when I say that and people say, well, sure, I look at it like this. I have no education. I have no photography education. I have no business education, but I built a $1 million business. I have absolutely no trust fund. I'm not a rich wife, but I managed to build an amazing career doing what I love when everybody told me that my genre was dead and I couldn't even say the name. So nobody will ever tell me I can't do something. So now that I've sort of moved to a stage where I'm like, I can give this away now because I'm ready to move into the next stage of my life. I'm just going to embrace what's coming in new technology. And I love shooting video on the 5D on Mark III. And I love editing in Final Cut Pro. And I love marketing and creating and teaching photographers about, you know, marketing. And I have so many cool things in front of me right now that giving this away is just, it's easy, easy, easy.
Wow. So how much longer do we have of Sue Bryce before you start making that transition?
I've already started making that transition. So my decision to do Creative Live in itself was the beginning of, you know, giving as much as I can and seeing how long it takes the world to sort of embrace this genre and start really opening it up in their businesses. And I want to see people making money from it. And I want to see people actually successfully taking beautiful shots of women and marketing them themselves. And yes, there's going to be a percentage of people that do a crappy job of it. I mean, that's just life. And yeah. I, you know, the more I can educate them, hopefully the better that they can be. And you know, it's already begun.
Wonderful. All right. Well, Sue, I know you're anxious to get to those slot machines in Las Vegas. So let me know where can people go to see your work and get inspired by you and all that good stuff?
Well, my first Creative Live workshop is still selling, and my website is SueBryce.com, Sue Bryce with a Y. I have a very active blog on SueBryce.com that I have been working on for 2 years, where I try and give as much information as I can. And I'm on Facebook, Sue Bryce Photographer. I'm on Twitter, Sue_Bryce. I actually feel like I'm everywhere, Frederick.
Nice. Are you on Google Plus yet?
No, I'm not on Google Plus or Pinterest, actually. And even though I'm getting work and inquiries all around the world from Pinterest, I'm not on it because I banned myself from another social media so that I can have some semblance of a life.
Tell me about it. I know. That's a whole nother show entirely, just how to manage all this stuff. That's great. All right. Well, Sue, thank you so much for taking the time today. This has been educational, inspirational. I may go back and rewatch your first Creative Live workshop now that I know. I feel like I know you personally. I'm going to go watch it again.
That's wonderful. And please tune in on the 27th. I'm going to bring it. So I'm really excited about it. And I just I've taken a month to write the keynote for it. So
awesome. So that's August 27th, 9 a.m. sharp. It starts, right?
Yes, it does. And I'll be in Seattle.
Okay. And for the folks listening, you don't need to be in Seattle. All you need to do is be in front of your computer and just go to creativelive.com and check it out, right?
Awesome. Yes, that's true.
For free. That still blows me away. For free. I hope they keep that. I hope they don't start charging for that.
At the end of the day, it's a great model for the simple reason that why would you buy something unless you had a look first? And it's very hard to pre-buy a workshop just based on a few sentences written about you. And I think when you get to watch people, people were emailing me saying, I watched you for 20 minutes and I knew I would buy it. Yeah. You know, you can't often sit down for 3 whole days, but if you find an instructor that you resonate with and you know that they're giving you lots of good information, you only need to watch them for 10 minutes, 20 minutes to realize that you might want to own it. They're never going to survive if people don't buy it, because they need to pay their crew. And it's such an amazing platform, and the support for that platform is growing. And, you know, the more people that buy it, obviously, the more they can deliver in terms of education. What I like about it is not only that they give you a taste for free, but that you can buy it for so cheap.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to do a 3-day workshop with me would be a lot more than $99. But it's pretty amazing. What I like about it, to be honest with you, is every single person, even the girl that makes the coffee and cleans the kitchen, is nice. Like, they're just so down to earth and groovy people.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's been my experience in the short time that I've known the guys inside. It's just people that are just passionate about photography, and the attitude is upbeat, and you know, it's sort of almost a perpetual motion machine where they're giving and everyone's happy and they make a little money and they can keep giving more and more and more. So it's good. So August 27th, I'm there with bells on. I'll be in the audience watching.
Good. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sue. I appreciate it. We'll